Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fastamai, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 26th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, industrial action has been called off with the dispute between school leaders and the government now settled. Meanwhile, for the first time, the Isle of Man has received an application to build an offshore wind farm in Manx waters, and FC Isle of Man continues its losing streak after two more defeats over the weekend. All those stories and more coming up. If you want to say hello, get in touch in the usual way. Text WhatsApp to 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai.
Fastamai. An application for the development of an offshore wind farm in Manx waters has been accepted for examination by the Council of Ministers. The proposal, which is the first of its kind, has been put forward by Morvannon Offshore Wind Farm Limited, that's Ørsted, under the Marine Infrastructure Management Act. Roads around the Snaefell mountain course are to shut at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, with Classic TT organisers confirming racing is to run as scheduled. But they have stated that there is rain forecast overnight and a chance of showers in the morning, which may affect the schedule. Manx National Heritage has lodged an appeal against the Planning Committee's decision to approve plans for a statue of King Orry in St John's. The organisation says the committee ignored its professional opinions and recommendations against progressing the project. And Isle of Man professional tennis player Billy Harris will be making his debut at the US Open this evening. The former Albany and Castletown competitor is due to face the world number 25 at 6:50 p.m. UK time. Turning to the international news, Nigel Farage says if Reform UK win the next general election, hundreds of thousands of migrants, including women and children, would be detained and deported. Two men have been jailed for more than 6 years combined for conspiring to sell meat meant for pet food to shoppers in South London. A body has been recovered from a reservoir near Edinburgh. And new Formula One team Cadillac have signed Sergio Perez and Valtteri Bottas as their drivers for their debut campaign in 2026. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at six.
World-class racing has returned to our island. Make a pit stop at your local Tesco and pick up crowd-pleasing bites, drinks and camping must-haves. Tesco, every little helps.
Gurumaya, thank you very much for that. Siobhan, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Sunny spells and just a small risk of a shower this evening, then dry and clear overnight. Minimum temperatures of 13 degrees Celsius. After a dry start, rain will soon arrive tomorrow, though, in the morning, turning heavy at times as the southeast winds become fresh to strong. However, the rain will then clear away around midday, leaving sunny intervals for the rest of the day as winds swing southeast and ease a little, and to top temperatures of 18 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths, 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Isle of Man has received its first application for the development of an offshore wind farm in Manx waters. The Council of Ministers has accepted the proposals put forward by Morvannon under the Marine Infrastructure Management Act. Chanel Suku was at a government briefing earlier today. She joins us now. First to my Chanel. What does this mean?
Well, the application is similar to a normal planning one, but will have to be treated separately and under different legislation, as it falls outside the area covered by town and country planning, thus making Comen the decision makers for marine projects. Going forward, the application will be considered by an independent examining body. Government has introduced a consultation today to gain the views of residents and organisations. This will run until the 18th of November. It's expected that the independent body will collect all its findings from the consultation and thereafter begin its own work. It's expected that within 60 days of the examination closing, that the body will be able to make its own recommendations to ministers on whether or not to grant consent.
Now, Chanel, where can people find out more about the application itself?
We do have a link at manxradio.com, which will take you directly to the MIMA website, where the application process and form to register as an interested party can be found. People can also collect and return paper copies from government offices in Douglas, and a paper copy will also be made available at Douglas City Library and Ramseytown Library.
And just lastly, this is actually the first application that the Isle of Man has received for marine infrastructure, is that right?
Yes, it is. Commenting on it, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon says now that the application has been accepted for examination, a series of events will get underway. He says views expressed during this phase can inform and shape the structure of the examination and the issues to be assessed during the examination period. He adds that at this stage, the consultation is part of the process and does not mean that the Council of Ministers or any particular minister is either for or against the proposals, and throughout this period, government will not be in a position to comment on any of the merits or otherwise the proposal.
Chanel Suku there, and as she mentioned, a link to the consultation and all the details can be found over at manxradio.com. 7 minutes past five now, there's been a significant development in the long-running dispute between the School Leaders Union, the NAHT, that's the National Association of Head Teachers, and the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. Planned industrial action has now been called off. Lewis Foster has all the details. He's with us now. First, what can you tell us?
Fast and my Christian, yes. Well, the union and the department say they've reached a settlement with the help, of course, of the Manx Industrial Relations Service. That agreement means industrial action, like you said, which had been expected next month, will no longer go ahead. Both sides have described this as a constructive outcome that not only addresses the immediate concerns, but also sets up a framework for continued dialogue on wider issues affecting school leaders.
And this dispute has been running for some time. Just remind us what it was all about.
Yes, it goes back a few months, actually, when NAHT first warned it could ballot members after raising what it called serious concerns about the department's handling of disciplinary procedures and treatment of union officials. Among the allegations were misuse of disciplinary powers, breaches of employment policies, and victimisation of its representatives. Now, the department strongly rejected those claims, saying they didn't reflect its values.
And then that escalated again last month, didn't it?
That's right. In July, the union launched a formal postal ballot of head teachers and deputies. Members backed industrial action, and it looked as though disruption was likely. But since then, of course, both sides have kept talking. The agreement announced today effectively brings the dispute to a close, at least for now. And crucially, it avoids any disruption to schools at the start of the new term, of course.
So a resolution, but perhaps with more work ahead with some of those wider issues that have been mentioned. Lewis Foster there, thanks for speaking to us. And I should say that we have contacted the NAHT for comment. So far, nothing back yet.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Manx National Heritage has lodged an appeal against the Planning Committee's decision to approve plans for a statue of King Ori in St John's. The organisation says the committee ignored its professional opinions and recommendations against progressing the project. Sean Cowper has more details.
The heritage body previously voiced concerns over the proposals, which were submitted by the president of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, questioning the risks and impact of the statue, as well as the accuracy of the portrayal of Godred Crovan, also known as King Ori. In its application for an appeal, MNH says the committee's decision disregards the professional opinion of itself, as well as the planning officer who had recommended the application for refusal. In the planning officer's report to the planning committee, concerns were raised that the statue would undermine the visual and cultural primacy of the site, but despite this, the application was unanimously approved by the committee. At that hearing, historian Charles Gard spoke in support of the installation, saying it would be a high-quality piece of public art, while the Department of Infrastructure allayed fears it would impact visibility at the junction for motorists. The application for the appeal goes on to say the statue would contravene government strategic plan in a number of ways, including by allowing development on a site of archaeological interest and the lack of evidence for consideration of the impact on its surroundings. It also highlights the potential for damage to and disturbance of Tynwald Hill and a failure to address an environmental policy requiring archaeological evaluations to be submitted prior to the determination of the proposals.
As part of MGP and Classic TT 25, look to the skies above Douglas Bay. For the very first time, the RAF Typhoon will be thundering into action to display above the Isle of Man. Thursday, the 28th of August at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss the breathtaking speed, power and noise of Britain's frontline jet fighter. Catch every manoeuvre with commentary live on Manx Radio FM and AM. Bring a radio, tune in and feel the thrill as it happens. The Royal Air Force Typhoon display. Loud, fast and unforgettable.
Thanks very much for that, Chris. Definitely one to watch out for. Let's turn our attention to the planning committee because it's rejected five applications from Manx Telecom to install telegraph poles in Peel and Glenvine. The company says the poles were needed to help deliver the government's national broadband plan, which aims to provide fibre to the premises of almost all households by 2029. Darren Thompson is with us now. Fastamai, just give us a flavour of what this was all about.
Fastamai, Christian, the five schemes would have seen 9-metre timber poles erected in residential streets to carry fibre cables. Planning officers had recommended approval, stressing the importance of rolling out high-speed broadband before the copper network is phased out. But Peel Town Commissioners and residents objected, citing visual clutter, safety concerns and a preference for underground cabling. Committee members agreed, calling the approach outdated and visually intrusive. They ruled that harm to neighbourhoods outweighed the wider benefits and all five applications were refused.
And has Manx Telecom responded? How have they responded?
Well, a little earlier this afternoon, the provider sent out a statement where it says the company says it respects the committee's decision, but warns the island faces a major challenge in completing a full fibre network by 2029. It insists poles are not an antiquated option, but a modern and widely used method when underground routes aren't viable. Manx Telecom adds that it has already been reused nearly 1,900 existing poles and alternative infrastructure such as abandoned water mains and the Solby Reservoir Tunnel. It says it remains committed to delivering fibre coverage to every community, but stresses collaboration will be needed to avoid anyone being left behind as the copper network is decommissioned.
Darren, thank you for that, and we'll see you a little bit later for sport. Let's turn our attention to travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of. We'll start over in Peel. Glenfavor Road is closed near the new sewage treatment plant for installation of a new water main. Traffic is being diverted via the Patrick Road, St John's and the A1 in and out of Peel. Also, the Classic TT racing is set to take place tomorrow, weather permitting, with roads around the course due to be closing at 9:30 in the morning. Roads will then reopen no later than 5 o'clock, but the clerk of the course has confirmed if there are any delays tomorrow, the evening contingency session will be used, which means roads would close again at 6 o'clock. We'll take a look down at the steam packet. Everything is looking all good there. I'm not seeing anything out of the ordinary. We'll take a quick look over at the airport. And on the arrivals and the departures board, I'm seeing all green, so everything is running to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5:15, There shouldn't be a blame game over the island's pension funding gap, despite concerns the fund could run out in just over 20 years. That's from the chair of the Public Sector Pensions Authority, Jerry Carter. A report by the UK government actuary in 2023 found the pension pot would be exhausted by 2047 if urgent changes aren't made. It's led to questions over the current public sector pension structure on the island, but Mr. Carter told Phil Gorn it's not that simple.
I don't think we should be playing the blame game, because the Isle of Man's public sector, we had to be competitive with the United Kingdom and the private sector. So we wanted a first-class infrastructure. We want good police officers, doctors, nurses, journalists even, all manner of people. And it was vitally important to the growth of the Isle of Man that we had a very good infrastructure and a good public sector. Now, unfortunately, as has been the experience in other jurisdictions, nobody was really looking ahead to see what the cost was. So as a result, we have this tremendous imbalance, which we, the funding gap, the legacy gap, call it what you will, that will come down for a variety of reasons. It'll come down through time. And in respect of the cost sharing, that relates to the current position, to the people who are paying in now, who will be getting their benefits, and it's assessing the cost. And the cost of the pensions that is anticipated to enable them to achieve their benefits, that's calculated. That's why we have the cost sharing. So the cost of doing that is divided, and if it increases, it increases. If it decreases, it decreases.
A question that often comes up when we're talking about public sector pensions is, well, what we need to do is close the scheme for all future entrants because it's unaffordable, it needs to go. Why can't that work in the public sector?
There is a Treasury insisted that we resourced a defined contribution scheme. Now, if we went back to 2012 when pensions were in a mess, I think a lot of members would have opted to go for a defined contribution scheme. Since the defined contribution scheme, which is an option for everybody, has been introduced, nobody's taken it up.
That's the chair of the Public Sector Pensions Authority, Jerry Carter, speaking with Manx Radio's political correspondent, Phil Gorn. 17 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. The Department of Infrastructure says it has identified lessons following a report into the grounding of the Manxman in Douglas Harbour. This happened on the evening of the 1st of March when the Steam Packet's flagship vessel became stuck on a hump of sediment as it was attempting to berth on the King Edward VIII pier. The report says the direct cause was insufficient depth with less water in the harbour on the day due to spring tides and pressure. However, it also identifies root causes such as poor communication and management oversight within the harbour's division, and the fact the last time capital dredging took place was more than 20 years ago. Laurie Hooper, the political member for the Department of Infrastructure, was asked what went wrong to allow this to happen.
I mean, the report sums it up, actually. I'd like to thank everyone that collaborated on getting that report through. I think we worked with those people in the Harbours Division. There was a Steam Packet, obviously, as well, all worked together to kind of get a picture of what it was that had gone wrong. And I think the report itself is pretty clear-cut, actually. And like you just said, there was an insufficient depth in the harbour. I mean, that's not exactly news to anyone. When a boat grounds out, obviously, there's not enough depth there, and the underlying reasons behind some of this, I think the report talks about, you know, been a historic lack of that dredging, and also then in terms of there being not enough guidance documentation, not enough communication going on amongst the various parties. So yeah, it doesn't make for great reading, but actually, to my mind, I think I'm reassured in some ways that this report has come out with those findings, because at least it lets us identify that there was a root cause, is something we can take forward, something we can fix ultimately, as opposed to it being a kind of a more systemic issue. It's something that is actually quite fixable.
You mentioned historically, no capital dredging. We're talking 20 years. Why was it allowed to go that long?
It's not really a question I can answer, if I'm honest, but I think there's a difference between capital dredging and what they call kind of regular dredging. So capital dredging is where you would dig out the harbour and make it deeper. So there has been intermittent dredging that goes on, and that is more about smoothing out the harbour base, as it were, and making it kind of level. But actually, in terms of the capital dredging and then removing some of that build-up, it hasn't really happened over the last, like you say, 20 20 years, I think, was the last one. So we have got the department and the officers now working on a bid for a new capital dredge and actually trying to put in place a regular schedule of dredging as well to make sure that going forwards you have that regular kind of skim dredging or plough dredging or whatever they might call it. And then every so often you do then have a capital dredge that goes through and removes any of that excess silt, excess soil, to make sure the harbour depth is what it needs to be for the Manxmen, obviously. And I'm hoping we'll get support from the Treasury for that request.
That's Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, also a political member for the Department of Infrastructure. And you can hear that full interview as a newscast over at manxradio.com. We'll quickly go back to the pensions. Andy's been on and says what Mr Carter says is all well and good, but he doesn't give an answer as to when and where the funding deficit is going to be dealt with. Interested to know your thoughts. 166 177.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Now, the Isle of Man Constabulary says policing Manx Grand Prix and TT can be frustrating, especially when people ignore the rules. Every year, officers have to arrest people who are illegally flying drones, entering closed roads or taking pedal bikes on the mountain road. Detective Inspector Jamie Tomlinson says it makes their jobs even harder.
It's really problematic to try and police 3/7 and 3/4 miles. You can't be everywhere at once. Obviously, that's where we get the assistance from the marshals, who are absolutely brilliant. They have the same powers as a police officer. But a lot of our bread and butter stuff is people either encroaching onto the carriageway for a selfie, which is what we get up at the likes of the Cregna Barge during TT, or people like we saw recently who will just blatantly cross the road because they don't either want to wait or use a footbridge, which can be frustrating, extremely dangerous for absolutely everybody concerned. And we obviously pretty much got a zero tolerance approach with it, and 9 times out of 10 people will be arrested and they will be put to court.
When there are racing incidents, sometimes the public out there are saying that when the roads possibly reopen but they keep that section closed to deal with an incident, and it seems to sometimes for some people to get frustrated because it seems to take forever. I'd imagine there is a due process that you guys have to be involved in.
Yeah, and it can be for a number of factors, really. It could be damage to the road surface. You could have an oil spillage, a machine could have set on fire, which could have then disrupted the road surface, which then needs to be fixed. Or there is a matter which we will take the lead on in relation to either a serious racing incident, which might mean that there's a coronial process to follow, which means that I have to send my officers to obtain statements, obtain any media or, seize machines and the like, or even get our accident investigators at the scene to look at marks on the carriageway, or on the roadside furniture. There's always a very, very good reason. If the road has to remain closed, we do it because we have to do it. We don't do it on a whim. And we are always making sure that we communicate with members of the public to tell them why that is. But we also try and get the road open as soon as we possibly can. But we certainly don't do it on a whim.
That's Detective Inspector Jamie Tomlinson there from the Isle of Man Constabulary talking about policing the MGP and TT. Right, sport up next.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Not a great time for FC Isle of Man, who suffered 2 defeats in 3 days over the weekend. They had a 4-1 loss to Ramsbottom United on Saturday, and that was followed up by another 4-goal shipping to Withenshaw on Monday. That means the side have only taken 4 points from their first 7 games so far. Coach Gareth Lloyd has spoken to the club's media.
Sending off changes everything. Going about moments and stuff like that, I just don't think. At times we do, I tell them in there, we do the basics correct. We knock it out of play 10 yards. When they're doing the basics, they knock it out of play 50 yards or turners. We need to get teams turned a little bit more, and that isn't just meaning long ball football or anything like that. It's been calculated in how we do things. Great to see Mikey come and get some minutes on the pitch. Was a positive. In real tough conditions, down to 10 men in this heat. It's not excuses. We've got to be better, inevitably. Can't fault the lads on the effort either to keep on going when things, especially some of the when we went down to 10. It was 1-2-0, I think, was it, Sam? Was it 2 when Callum went off? He's a big player for us as well, Callum. His physical attributes and his mentality. He said his piece in front of the group and in front of all the rest of us after the game. These things happen. Take it on the chin. Got to move forward. Got another tough test on Saturday with Paddington coming up. Not trying to get into too much detail about today. It's really disappointing.
Just final, despite the result, so we had a fantastic turnout of fans.
Oh, I think
we've got over 30 on the boat today. Another 20 or so from across the UK come to support us.
Apologise to them for the way today's gone. At the end, they're coming and supporting the lads. They still believe in them. That's the main thing, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why we do all this, is to have the community feel about the club. The result isn't what any of us want, but as long as they've kind of enjoyed the rest of the day getting together, we can't thank them enough. The players still go and show them the appreciation. They're massively disappointed, the lads in there, with how things have gone.
That's FC Isle of Man's coach and assistant manager, Gareth Lloyd, speaking to the club's media.
This is Manx Radio, but you knew that already. Did you know there's another Manx Radio 24 hours a day?
Manx Radio Gold.
Playing the greatest hits on earth. From the 60s and 70s, the 80s, 90s and beyond.
Manx Radio Gold.
On your smart device, select the Manx Radio app, press gold, and there it is, 24 hours a day, with the greatest hits on earth.
Manx Radio Gold.
Or say, Alexa, play Manx Radio Gold.
Manx Radio Gold.
Manx Radio Gold plays the greatest hits on earth, 24 hours a day. Now on your smart device.
And that is the wrong button. I will not be pressing that. Let's turn our attention to sports. We can say hello to Darren Timpson, Fastamai.
Fastamai, starting with tennis, Isle of Man professional player Billy Harris will be making his debut at the US Open later today. The former Albany and Castletown competitor is due to face world number 25, Canadian Félix Auger-Aliassime, at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Centre in New York. The game is to take place on court 17 at 6:50 p.m. UK time. It's the first time Harris has qualified for the main draw of the event, despite losing his third and final qualifying game to Hong Kong's Coleman Wong. He was awarded lucky loser entry after players had to withdraw from the competition. In cricket, Crosby Cricket Club won their place in the 2026 European Cricket Championship at the weekend. They beat Peel by 7 wickets in the T10 final, as Cole Hartman top scored with an impressive 73 off 25 balls. Eddie Beard's 45 of 19, plus cameos from Aki Vandenberg and Charlie Beard, weren't enough to put Crosby out of reach as they posted 134 for 6. Hartman's side chased the total down with 5 balls remaining as the captain hit 8 fours and 6 sixes to send his side on the way to victory. It was the first year of the Isle of Man Cricket Association's T10 Finals Day, with Shaun Valkyries and Cronkburn also involved. And in football, Peel AFC took home the Eric Fletcher Charity Shield on Friday night. They face off against Ayr United FC in the season opener at the Ball in Douglas. Thomas Brown and Lee Gale ensured the win for the Peel side, despite Ayr's Mark Nixon finding the back of the net just 2 minutes into the game. The Western side scored this winning goal with only 8 minutes left. Sam Kennett claimed the Man of the Match award for an assured display in defence.
Gurumaya, thank you. That's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next is Journey to a Dream with Beth Espy. She'll be followed by Michelle Kane, sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.